We pray. Holy Spirit, God divine, pour out your graces upon us, dwell in us that we might be your temple. Fill us to overflowing with that light to lighten our path. Guide us ever in the way that is pleasing to our Heavenly Father, and be with us in good days and bad, that we might lean upon our God and be delivered in your grace, now and forevermore, in Christ our Savior. Amen. In Charles Dickens' novel, A Tale of Two Cities, he begins with sentences that are legendary in English literature. Sentences that set opposites side by side. And I wonder whether this doesn't describe America in our day and age. It was the best of time and the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom and the age of foolishness. It was a season of light. It was a season of darkness. It was a spring of hope. It was a winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. We were all going directly to heaven. We were all going directly the other way. Isn't that interesting how opposites can sit side by side in contention with each other? And the question is, which will win? Here in America, many of us live in the lap of luxury, while others deal with crushing poverty. Is America at a high point in its history? A high point of splendor and wealth, accomplishments, opportunities? Or are we really in a downward spiral because of our corruption and violence and dysfunction? All at the same time, how can both live side by side? Or maybe even our own homes, we can look and see how our life is filled with pleasure and wonderful things, and yet we're in the dumper of despair and confusion and frustration. Another thing that divides homes and families and Americans from Americans is where the Holy Spirit finds a home. Those who dwell in the light and those who are in despair in the darkness. Even though today we don't see flames of fire flickering and dancing on Christians' heads, the Holy Spirit is still being poured out to this very day. God is pouring out His Spirit. As our text says, in these last times, God will pour out His Spirit to confuse the plans of the evil ones and to bring life and light and salvation to His people. Now, usually in the festival of Pentecost, we focus in on the Holy Spirit's enormous arms reaching out in the gospel to gather together people from every nation, language, to be His very own. And we'll come back to that point of how the Holy Spirit unites us. But first, we look at our Old Testament reading that reminds us how God comes and His Holy Spirit divides people, scatters them amongst the world. Here in our Old Testament lesson, the triune God is speaking to Himself in the plural. Let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. The Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. People at that time wanted to build a big, large city with a tower that reached up to the heavens, all so that they could be united. And as one united people, they would be invincible. God had other plans. Huh? Isn't it amazing how easy it was for the Holy Spirit to throw a wrench into all of their great plans? He just kind of came down and went into their minds and rewired the circuitry there so that all of a sudden they woke up one morning and they all spoke different languages. Imagine that, what that would be if you woke up this morning and all you could speak or understand was Mandarin Chinese. That would kind of throw a wrinkle in things, wouldn't it? And in that, God creating language and many different ones, he scattered them and stopped their evil plans. In the New Testament, we have a different example of how God handles evil plans. Sometimes he actually lets evil people do their evil deeds, but only with a totally different result than what they had planned. The Sanhedrin had schemed to kill the Lord of glory. And God let them follow through on that, all so that he could win salvation for all people. Their goal was to remove the name of Jesus from the face of the earth, never to be heard of again. God's plan was to spread the name of Jesus all throughout the world, in every language and tongue, in every corner of the world, that all might know who Jesus is. Well, as usual, God triumphed in his plans. And even today, God is in total control, even of evil. Evil raises its ugly head in so many different ways. It's all around us. We're entering a new political season. The word corruption and politics are very seldom far apart in any given sentence. Drugs, dealers, overdose deaths, why, they've spread out into every community across our land, even Mayberry, USA. All kinds of false teachers, false religions, Wicca worship is gaining a foothold and a following in our land. Daily, the news reports are of child abusers, drive-by shootings, wife beatings, internet theft. We've almost become numb to it all. It happens so often. But God pours out his Holy Spirit and frustrates their plans and brings them to nothing. Much like is written in the book of Proverbs, whoever leads the upright along an evil path will fall into their own trap. Or again, the Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. And this is also a warning to our sinful nature. If we're going to fight against God, we're in a losing battle. He holds all the cards. And while God is keeping evil in check, he also sends out his Holy Spirit to pour out his Spirit and give life, light, and salvation to his people. I would imagine this Pentecost day in our text was really kind of exciting. All of a sudden, there's this huge sound of a wind, not outside, but inside the room, and then tongues of fire that danced on their head but didn't burn up their hair. And then miraculously, they're able to speak in all different kinds of languages. So all the visitors in Jerusalem from every known country that were there visiting would hear them in their own native language. They'd be attracted. I only hear this language back home, and hear the wonders of God is proclaimed in my own native tongue. How remarkable that would be. And yet those weren't the greatest of the miracles. Those were signs to attract attention to the disciples so they could tell them about Jesus. But the miracle was how the Holy Spirit took his gospel message and put it in the heart of these apostles and on their tongues to give them the very words to say to these people. The miracle is that he took their proclamation of Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, he used that to create something that didn't exist before. Faith in the hearts and souls of these listeners. What must we do? And he says, repent and be baptized, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon many, many more than just the disciples in that room that very day. And so here, the Holy Spirit took these disciples and lifted their understanding of their Savior to a whole new level. From a common man's understanding of Scripture to a genius level. that they might be able to instruct and proclaim the word of God to that whole generation. The Holy Spirit pours out his gifts and pours out and pours out some more and pours out some more, continually giving more and more blessings. And then he sends them out to the four corners of the world. Isn't that amazing? He created language to first put a barrier between people, and then the Holy Spirit comes and gives them language to knock down those barriers, to proclaim the wonders of God in every language known to humans. And our day and age is a continuation of that. Look at how many languages the gospel is being translated and spoken in these days throughout the world. That's all the work of the Holy Spirit to get that glorious gospel message out. And so they went out to the four corners of the world, and the Holy Spirit was converting hearts and lives. People who had been worshiping at pagan altars were now turning in faith to their living Lord and worshiping this Jewish man who they truly believe is God and their Savior. That miracle is the work of the Holy Spirit. And so also in our day and age, God is pouring out his Spirit in these last times, just as he promised. Paul wrote, No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Has the Holy Spirit been poured out on you and me? How would we know Jesus is Lord? Just the sheer fact that we can confess Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, and in him heaven is opened. You already know the Holy Spirit has been poured out in you. And he's made you his holy temple. And he continues to keep on pouring out his blessings upon blessings upon blessings. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He doesn't necessarily make tongues of fire dance on our heads. No. But even with the disciples, they didn't come to faith on this Pentecost. They were just given supernatural signs to attract people's attention to them. They were already believers before Pentecost. And so God uses that very same gospel and has called us to be his children, even without the miraculous signs. And oh, how he has done his good work in us and for us. The very mysteries of God he has revealed to us, given us such conviction that we will die to defend these truths of Scripture, even while the unbelieving world thinks they're ridiculous. Whoever conceived or whoever convinced us that the Bible is truly God's Word from cover to cover? Did we just make that up as a pious thought? No, of course not. The Holy Spirit breathed that truth in us through Holy Scripture. When did we come up with the idea that baptism is really the washing of forgiveness, the renewal of the Holy Spirit? Is that something that's logical? Makes sense to us? No, again, the Holy Spirit has taught us what baptism is through Holy Scripture. Or where do we come up with that proposal that Christ's true body and blood is truly present in with and under the bread and the wine? Sounds kind of preposterous, doesn't it? Oh, that's a hard one even to explain, let alone defend. And all we do is go back to Scripture and let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does. Convict our hearts and lives by the clear, plain words of Scripture. Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood. We don't have explanations that satisfy human logic. We don't need to. We simply trust God's Word. The Holy Spirit has given us faith to take God at His Word. And that's what faith is all about. The Holy Spirit has given us life and light and salvation when he implants inside of us an appreciation for how high and big and wide the love of the Lord is, that we should truly be loved by our Heavenly Father. That He would come and truly wash us sinners perfectly clean, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish. He calls us holy in His sight and promises, "I remember your sins no more." It's the Holy Spirit that comes and puts on the full armor of God. Satan and all of his evil angels would love to attack us, but there stands guard the Holy Spirit, guarding us and protecting us and equipping us for battle all around His word of truth, His gospel, as our righteousness and our peace. And the Holy Spirit fills us with a strange and unnatural view of why we're here in the first place. What's our whole role in life? We are seen as curiosities, odd ones by our neighbors and friends, when all of a sudden we don't live to make money. The goal of our life isn't our pleasures, isn't amassing fame or fortune or even just living for ourselves. Huh. What a strange spirit has been planted in our hearts and lives, where we define a successful life by the one that gives glory to God and serves Him. That's success. That's the purpose we live. There are painful times in our lives. It hurts when our spine is crushed and we're in constant pain. It hurts when we have no money, but we have many kids around the supper table looking for something to eat. It hurts when we have to look into the coffin on the one who is the love of our life and has brought us so much pleasure. It crushes us when we look at a pile of rubble or ash where our home once stood. It horrifies us when we have to look into the mirror and just see how wicked our sinful self truly can be if left on its own. All these trials and troubles and tragedies, the Holy Spirit makes sure it drives us ever deeper into God's Word. Satan wants to use all that pain and anguish to pull us away from God. But the Holy Spirit has the opposite plan. He grabs us in His bear hug and will not let go of us, and carries us over into the waiting arms of Jesus, where we find that peace that goes beyond all human understanding, that eternal forgiveness that only Jesus gives, soothes our pain and revives our spirit, and leads us to see as Jesus as our one and only refuge. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. It's through the work of the Spirit that we are able to stay strong in the faith our whole life long and finish our race in grace. It is only through the work of the Holy Spirit that on our deathbed we actually look forward to seeing Jesus face to face. Would we like to see the might and the power and the glory of the Holy Spirit work right before our very eyes? Would we like to really see a miracle happen? Well, then share the good news of Jesus with someone. Tell them of how He came into this world, how He paid that awful price to set us free, to wash us clean, that how He rose in victory and now is on His throne in heaven. Tell someone the good news about Jesus and watch the Holy Spirit go to work. Invite them to church and watch as they begin a brand new journey with the Holy Spirit and all the blessings the Holy Spirit's going to keep on pouring and pouring and pouring into their hearts and lives and into our hearts and lives. The novel, A Tale of Two Cities, also ends with a very famous line. "It is a far, far better thing that I do than I have ever done. It is a far, far better rest I go to than I have ever known. The greatest thing we can ever do for another human being is to be the tool of the Holy Spirit, to share that life-giving word that they might know the grace and forgiveness of the Lord just like we've come to know it, that they too might have the standing of being a child of God, purchased in His holy blood, just as we are. God is pouring out His Holy Spirit. Let's be filled with the Spirit and overflow with the Spirit into the lives and hearts of those around us. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, our times are in Your hands. Send Your Holy Spirit through word and sacrament to strengthen our heart, to give us abundant blessings and gifts that we might bring praise and glory to Your name and accomplish the work You've set before us to do. Bless us, guide us, guard us, lead us ever onward as we cast all our cares upon You. You truly do care for us. In Christ our Savior we pray. Amen.